Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big. Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big. Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big. Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big. Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big. Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big. Facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white vans.
I forgot, you're memeing at a different level than I am, bro. Remember when people did shit like that? What, that was like the way people talked?
Is that true?
Am I immediately going to walk this back? You're right, nobody did that.
Yeah, it was Charlie roasting his little cousin for calling himself a meme lord in his as part of his introduction. Like, hey, my name's Stevie and I'm a meme lord.
Is that Charlie's little cousin did that? That's kind of cute. How young was he?
He must have been like 10.
Aw. And Charlie was like, you dumb piece of shit.
Charlie was like, when I was a kid, people wanted to be things like doctors and engineers, and now the number one job prospect for kids is meme lord.
It is kind of true.
Yeah, I guess that's technically not untrue.
Can you imagine how sad it is to be like, oh, deep fried memes are funny, like to trick yourself at a young age into thinking mm-hmm. that's funny because you just kind of want to be in on the like weird abstract joke.
Yeah. You know, the thing that people say about like YouTuber is the number one job for kids now, it's like, why wouldn't it be? That seems like a rad job.
So easy.
What are you talking about? I get to buy products that I see online and rate them, and that's like my job for the month? Are you kidding me?
I know. The first time I saw an unboxing video, I was like, wait, what?
They did what?
They did what?
Have you thought about having a family just so you can monetize it for content?
No, I'm pretty sure all those kids are going to grow up to be serial killers.
Yeah, but that's not your problem.
That's the world's problem. As long as they don't kill me, I'm good, buddy.
Yeah. Just saying.
You are just saying that.
Your little half-Mexican, half-Lebanese family. Me with my half-Cameroonian, half-Guatemalan family. And us being friends across the country.
You couldn't pull a Cameroonian.
What, are they too tall?
I mean, they are, but they're fine with short guys.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're saying there's a chance?
I was going to say, I think you could pull a Cameroonian woman, not a Cameroonian man, but I don't know which way you're swinging long term.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. Well, if it's with a Cameroonian man, I think we're going to have trouble adopting or getting like a surrogate? I don't think either of us are going to be rolling in dough. Maybe.
Do you think there's a Cameroonian person who's offended, or they're just kind of happy to finally be mentioned? Like, somebody out there is like, I would be angry about being, like, fetishized or talked about like this, but you know what? I'm just happy it happened.
Hey, I'm not fetishizing anybody. What are you talking about?
You're saying
I didn't even
you
know their physical features. I was like, are they tall? I was just saying statistically.
Talking about physical features, do you have an opinion on people who do plastic surgery to make themselves look more elfish? I think I just saw like a real clickbaity story on that. I don't know how common it is, but it did make me go, huh, that's weird.
Brother, let me rephrase the question. The name of this podcast should be, do you have an opinion? Because I got an opinion. Come on now. No, I haven't seen this. So they elongate their ears and stuff like that?
Yeah. They get like, and they get them like, get a cut put in it and stitched back together so it kind of grows into a tip.
Oh, goddamn. So it's not like Kate Micucci in Bored to Death where she just wears the little elf ears.
Well, that's never going to look realistic. It's never going to get like your skin tone just right. Could you imagine if you bought those and you just had little white tips on the tip of your ear?
I was about to say, do you think that's one of those things where there's going to be a reckoning like in the Band-Aid community where they come out with like a for everybody campaign for elf ears?
Yeah, there's going to be a guy on Shark Tank who's like, I have the first black elf ear tips.
And Mark Cuban's like, I'm so happy that I live to see the progress that we've made in society.
And the FUBU guy pretends to be interested in it right up until he's like, you know what? This business is too hard, man. I can't invest.
Damn. Yeah. Those sale numbers aren't where they need to be.
That guy is the biggest tease on that show. Damon, that's his name.
Yeah.
He always just pretends to be interested in clothes and then always backs out.
Is he just there to make competitive offers for the other, like that's his strategy, is he's just there as like a plant?
Maybe. I mean, they all make, you know, to get on that show, you have to give like a percent of your company just to get on.
Just to get on?
Yeah. There's like.
So wait, they've already sold equity before they're even on the show?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's fucked up.
Yeah, I guess the idea is so it's like you can't just use it for free advertising.
Exposure, yeah. I feel like that should be allowed. What do you mean? That's crazy.
I think so, too. I feel like they could definitely just find five other billionaires who'd be willing to do the same thing.
Yeah. I've got an opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I don't much care for it.
I don't care for it.
I'll say this. My opinion is, I don't think that's the Christian thing to do. I think Shark Tank jumped the shark. You know what I mean?
I think if you don't make a deal with the sharks, they should throw you in the Shark Tank.
Hmm. Wait, the Shark Tank isn't a metaphor?
No.
Oh.
Or if you don't make a profit within a year, they throw you in the Shark Tank.
Did they put Shark Tank reruns on during Shark Week?
That's smart. That's vertical integration right there.
Yeah. I haven't been around having satellite TV or cable for a Shark Week in like a decade. So I have no idea what it's like anymore.
There was a beauty to cable, to just being able to flip through or satellite, see what's on.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly golf in the 700 Club, if my memory as a child serves me right. That was what was on most of the time.
Infomercials. And then right at 10 p.m., like clockwork, Adult Swim became Girls Gone Wild. Advertisements for that.
Do you have I guess maybe this is for a future episode if we ever do it as a theme, but do you have a, like, real stark memory of, like, your sexual awakening? Was there a thing that got young Adrian? Hachi Chachi, Lola Bunny, Hubba Hubba.
No, I'm not into cartoons, Paul. I feel like I should know who the actress is, but I remember there being a scene. Should we save this for its own episode, or do people want to hear this?
Sexual awakening. no, let's save it. Let's leave the audience on the edge of their seats.
Feel free to leave your guests with a 5-star review, but I know exactly what it is. Paul, do you know yours? Are you willing to say it when we do the episode?
I'll have to think about it. I'll have to prep for the upcoming episode.
All right. Well, good. Now we got another. That's another timeless app. So, also, so is the idea that this just becomes the next Friday's episode, or is the idea that this literally gets banged?
No, I think this one goes to timeless status until we need to release it when you're in. Oh. Where are you going again?
Argentina and South Carolina.
Ooh, South Carolina.
South Carolina, Colombia.
Oh, Colombia, famously hot.
Famously hot. Well, we're like, oh, man's too hot.
But instead of doing our typical media roundups, me and Adrian are going to do classic roundups of things we've liked our whole lives and maybe haven't talked about on the podcast because we haven't, like, actively discovered them as media while we were recording the podcast. Since this is coming out in however many months when Adrian is in Argentina for vacation.
I think like 2 months. I think we know. I don't think it's like an unknown factor.
Could be 2 months, could be 2 years. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Okay. All right. Do you want to get to your classic roundup?
If you guys don't know, it might have been mentioned before in a couple episodes, like our Letterboxd reviews episode. But since middle school, watched this movie for the first time in middle school. Fell in love with it. It's been one of my favorites ever since, and I still enjoy it when I watch it. This could be true for two different movies, In Bruges or Gattaca. So I'll start with In Bruges, directed by Martin McDonagh. It has Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson and Ralph Fiennes in there, and it's about a hitman who, after a hit goes wrong, has to hide out in Bruges, and it's kind of a dark comedy. I think this movie is really fun and all around good time.
Yeah.
Also, check out Gattaca. Great movie.
Never watched it.
Really? You should. Great movie.
What is it? It's a little bit of sci-fi?
It's about a world where they can use genetic engineering to make perfect humans, and about one non-genetically engineered kid struggle against the system.
Is that why some kids were allowed to watch it for high school biology or middle school biology?
Yeah, I watched it two times, I think, throughout school, like for two different biology classes.
I got it zero times. God damn.
But Ethan Hawke, Jude Law, Uma Thurman.
Oh,
I don't know. It's powerful, man. Like, it's another one where you could probably come at it and call it cheesy, and I wouldn't necessarily say you're wrong. But if you let yourself get in the mood for it, it literally gives me like tingles. It's powerful.
Ooh, okay, damn. All right, that's a powerful story. I also picked a movie to bring in for classics. This is 2004's UK comedy horror, Freak Out. It's one that's near and dear to me and Dora Lee's heart. One of those, kind of like Tekken Concrete, just one of those. We saw it at Blockbuster, we picked it, and we ended up renting it like 7 or 8 times throughout our childhood because we liked it so much. I'm very jealous of Dora Lee. She has a hard copy of it and was able to find it somewhere. It's not like readily available. I think you can get it on YouTube now, which is nice. But there's definitely a gray period when we were like in high school where you really couldn't find it anywhere after Blockbuster closed or whatever. It's about two kids who are really into horror movies who end up befriending someone who escapes from a lunatic asylum, and they try and craft him into the perfect murderer, but he's actually just a very sweet, cuddly man. It's got a lot of great one-liners. It's a hilarious movie. Dorley and I are talking about this recently. I don't know if it holds up now, but I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does.
Go check it out. It's like $5 on YouTube. Perfect for this time of year. Paul, can I talk about something timeless?
Yeah.
You have the Hot One hot sauces, right?
Yeah.
So Pierce and Nicole have them at the house, and it kind of like, you know, when you open the fridge, it very starkly takes up like an entire shelf, like on the side, because
that's why I threw mine away.
Yeah. And the people always say this on the show, and I always feel like they're just blowing smoke up the host's ass. But I've been using that Los Calientes hot sauce like all the time on eggs. That shit's great. It's like a legitimately good hot sauce.
The only ones I didn't throw away, I used all the first 5.
Yeah.
And I think that one's number 5, right?
Yeah, I think it always sits in the 5 or 6 spot. And their kids' hot sauce, I don't know if that was like a bonus or if that was part of that season, but that one's okay. It's hard to get out of the bottle. So I have a logistics issue with that one.
Yeah. I think with that one, it's like all the up to medium hot sauces were good because you could put a bunch of them on food, but all the ones that got spicier than that, it's like I'm never going to finish this bottle of hot sauce just putting a little dab. And anyway, I want one that I can add more flavor with, like if I'm gonna have it just on top of like eggs.
You'd have to like get an adapter with like a spray bottle, that way it sprays like an even mist all over your food. Otherwise you're just getting one really spicy bite of food and then the rest of it's just
for the top ones, they just all kind of went. I was like, I'm never gonna need these hot sauces.
Yeah, you're not pulling any sick pranks, bro. You're not gonna put those in your condom.
That sounds so horrible for both people.
Oh, sorry, that was unrelated. That was separate from the pranking. That's what Drake did when he sleeps with somebody. He pours hot sauce in the condom to kill the sperm. Did you not hear about that story? This isn't topical, no. So we can talk about it. A woman tried to
scoop. Is that why Adonis is so spicy?
It was a story that came out where a woman had a very bad reaction to trying to scoop out Drake's cum from a used condom out of her trash can to impregnate herself with Drake's sperm, and he apparently is smart enough to know to avoid that situation by pouring hot sauce into a used condom to kill the sperm.
Isn't spermicide a thing? Couldn't he have gotten a bottle of that? Why?
Yeah, but hot sauce has multiple uses. No unitaskers in his bag.
Oh, also he didn't want to look like a freak if somebody checked what he kept on him. He wanted to be like, oh yeah, GQ, this is one of the top 10 essentials I keep in my bag, hot sauce.
Well, he wanted to be like his hero Hillary, and he wanted to be like, I always got that hot sauce on me. You know, I'm crazy with the sauce.
Makes sense. I'm sorry, I doubted Drake.
But yeah, the other thing I wanted to say about that is like, at a certain point, it's like when you hear those stories about how the US president like has their poop bagged every single time so that like foreign agents can't like use it to like analyze how his health is doing or anything like that. At a certain point, Drake just needs like people to be around him just to like, just if he's gonna be that tight with his security about his bodily fluids.
You know how I feel about you insulting Drake for putting hot sauce in his condoms? Let him cook.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Let my boy cook, man. Come on.
Let him cook, yeah. Was that supposed to parlay into anything, or?
Oh, no. That's just how I talk. You know, yeah. I'm like Charlie's nephew. I'm a meme lord.
Yeah. No. The theme today is... I almost said meme lord. The theme today is let him cook. Paul, what you got to say about that?
Let him cook. We really kind of painted ourselves into a corner with this theme. It's a tough one to talk about.
Yeah, I only have my hipster rant about how my students started saying it because that one meme got really popular. And I was like, this is weird. People have been saying this in battle rap for like half a decade or more. And now all of a sudden the kids are saying it. It's interesting.
That Woody meme really did numbers for Let Him Cook.
Yeah, and it's a great one too. Deservedly so. It is. To put something on the map? Yeah. That's great. When you see a rat in the kitchen, hold up, let him cook.
It's it's no dat boy with the frog on a unicycle, but I mean, it's getting towards there.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about bad memes, have you seen that one where it's a guy looking out of a bus and there's like a sad guy and then a happy guy looking out the other window?
Yeah,
that's a shit meme. Get rid of that meme. I don't like that meme.
I mean, you have to wonder what the origin of those things are, because that has to be from what, just like a Highlights magazine or something? Like, someone really just had the vision to be like, oh, this is going to work great as a meme template. And, you know, it's generalizable.
Yeah,
this, I'm about to do my like marketing pitch for like how a good meme is generalizable, readable, and adaptable.
I'm sorry, you know, those are the some three bitch principles. Who does like a modern marketing class that literally has that something very similar to that up on a slide right now? There's a comm professor somewhere in the country with something almost verbatim to that in their slide deck.
Yeah, and I love that for them. Get your bag, bro.
Yeah, you know what I say to that comms professor.
Let him cook. Paul, do you want to define it for our audience, Urban Dictionary style?
You know, I didn't actually Google to see if, like, Know Your Meme had their own definition. I kind of felt confident enough about this one to just assume I already knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But let me know if I'm right. Maybe I'm not. It just means, like, hey, that thing he's doing seems weird, but I'm going to defend it and say that it's, like, it might work out. It might be a good idea. Let him cook.
Yeah, basically. I think that's kind of the meme format, too, is that exact definition. I mean, in battle rap, it kind of just means, like, honestly, in battle rap, it's a way to tell people to shut up. It's like, people will be like, the crowd will be too hype, and someone will be trying to get their lines out, and they'll be like, let him cook. Or the other thing that people say is, like, people will make fun of, like, random battle leagues around the country or whatever. And it's not let him cook, but it is like the thing about like, you know, oh, Danny Myers is getting paid $3,000 to go face Dookie Shoes in Illinois for the Rootin' Tootin' Battle League. And someone will just be like, hey, yo, Dookie Shoes, you know, like he starts off a little slow, but once he starts cooking, he can wrap his ass off.
Dookie Shoes. I stole
that from Tom Segura.
Oh, I was going to say, we had a friend here that we all used to call Dookie Shoes.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's from Tom Segura's first 48-bit. He's like, the police are always like asking some dude in a wife beater who's like, do you know about this person? They're like, oh, you mean Dookie Shoes. No one ever goes by their regular name.
There was a friend of ours who came to a New Year's Eve party like 5 years ago and tracked a dog poop into the house. So we all called him Dookie Shoes.
Yeah, that's deep. That's dope. We need more nicknames like that. Paul, has there been a time where you wanted someone to let you cook, or you wanted to make sure that someone was able to cook?
You know, there was this time I was watching the show The Bear, and Izzy was like, there's no way they're going to finish all the orders on time. And I was like, whoa, let him cook.
Have you ordered one of the shirts from The Bear yet?
No, is that a thing? I didn't know about this.
Yeah, a lot of people have the classic logo tee, all American beef, whatever.
I'm good. I like that show. I don't know if I need to wear my fandom.
You don't
for
think
it
needs to be like a cultural signifier for you?
I might get a little teardrop tattoo that's in the shape of a roast beef.
Ooh. So. Of an Italian dipped beef sandwich.
I think that's how I'm gonna show my appreciation for that Hulu original. Sorry, FX original.
That seems like, I think it's FXX.
FXX original.
I think I've never had an Italian beef sandwich, so I feel like I'd be like a little bit of a poser to buy one of those. Did you have one when you were in Chirac?
No.
Just eating that hot dog in the deep dish? Can I give you my actual opinion? I'm not a big lover of steak sandwiches. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I'd actually really like an Italian beef sandwich all that much.
But it's an Italian beef. Like, I mean, an Italian beef is like a sandwich cut, not like a steak cut. Like, I feel like when you go to like a chain place and you get a steak sandwich, you're getting like kind of thick cuts of steak. An Italian beef is different. That's sandwich cuts meat. That's like closer to a roast beef.
Okay.
Which
okay.
I think I would like.
I think with the dip, it would all work out. But
I don't like steak sandwiches. You're right. I don't want to I don't want to have to chew through the meat.
I don't really understand it. Yeah. Just structure-wise.
But I think this is I think this is thinly sliced.
More of like a shaved. Okay, all right. Yeah. I feel you. Let him cook. That's all I'm saying. I think my big moment was when I first started, after the mystical, absolute legendary introduction that I got, rolling up into a village and people talking about a man about town as if he was a mythical figure, and then actually watching Smitty's comedy. Texting Phil and being like, it's not that good. And he's like, hey, let him cook. You know, it's not all gonna be amazing, but you gotta keep watching.
Hey, I don't know. I'm a Smitty fan.
Yeah, you're a Smithead.
I'm trying to get him on this pod. He won't respond to me, man.
I wonder why. I would love to hear his take on current events.
I know he doesn't fuck with soy boys, so I think that's probably why he's not replying to my Facebook messages.
Probably, yeah.
How about, for you, I feel like it's very applicable, not just because of battle rap where it's often used, but like, I could see it being used for like a new player. Like last week you mentioned the player who has like 3 years,
hasn't been fielded.
And now is getting field time. Have you ever had like a let him cook moment with like, okay, this new coach or this new player has had 2 or 3 bad games, but let him get the hang of being on the team. Let him...
So
get adjusted, let him cook. Come on, y'all.
That 100% exists. The other thing that exists a lot is so different news outlets will, like, before the game be like, oh, here are the rumors about what the team is going to look like on Sunday. And it'll be like a new formation. And that'll be a thing where people will be like, whoa, this actually looks pretty good. Let him cook. Let people cook. formation looks way better than what we've been doing so far. Or like having this player in the rotation or whatever. So yeah, that's 100% in there for sure. It's like he's going to try Kessie as a trequartista? Are you kidding me? Let him cook.
Have you ever heard somebody pitch a idea professionally, like either like a project they want to do or a research idea, and you've been like, okay, not the strongest yet, but let him cook. There's something there.
That is the default nature with which you have to approach undergrad projects. Is you don't want to be dismissive or like immediately like that's dumb. So like I had a student who wanted to study, there were a couple of ideas that she had. She wanted to see if like the vibrations from being near or far away from traffic could mimic bee communication signals and like possibly like mess up how the colonies are doing. And so like colonies closer to roads might be doing worse than others. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna let you cook, come up with an idea. And then the big man in charge, Brian, was like, nah, don't like that idea. Seems kind of dumb.
Did you think it would have been too hard to... to me, that just sounds really hard to be, like, militant enough to, like, I guess isolate variables.
She was militant. yeah, it was one of those things where I had to try and modify her proposal to being, like, just pick distance from the road and we can measure fitness outcomes. And if you want to get into the mechanisms behind it, you first just need to prove that there's a difference. Let's do that first. And even that, Brian was like, eh, not that interested in it. But yeah, that's kind of the default nature you need to approach things with, which the lab that I'm teaching this week is when our first lab where we let the kids kind of come up with their own experiment with restrictions. It's actually one of my least favorite parts about the lab is that like we're like, you know, whatever you can come up with the tools we have today, you can do. And there's like 2 options. Like realistically, like everyone's going to do the same experiment. And I always hate that. Like that's the way they pitch it. What about you? What about in your work? You've never been walking around the Big Apple and you see a guy doing something weird in public and you're like, there's a 50% chance that this is a performance piece. Let him cook.
Let him cook. Oh, wait, no. He's just a mentally ill man.
No, he's just a man who's stripping in the middle of Central Park. I have been in that situation before, yeah.
No, this is just a deeply troubling breakdown. Let's move on.
4 stars.
4 stars.
Do you like a lot of slow burn described movies?
I'll give artists who I have liked in the past who do something like not good, like they release a...
Oh, like Kid Cudi.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll be like, you know what? This one wasn't good, but they're going in their own direction. Let them cook. Let's see what the next one's all about.
Oh, like MGK.
Yeah, like MGK famously.
Yeah. Lace up.
Like John Mulaney, I remember when he released his TV show, my roommate hadn't heard of him, and I was like, oh, this guy's so funny, his TV show is gonna be the best, this guy fucking rocks, let me put it on. I put on the first episode, I'm like, you know, let him cook, this is a pilot, it's gonna get better. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, but we did have some fun motif moments. I still remember some of those jokes.
So I feel like when
everybody talked about that,
an artist that like releases a disappointing project, Chance, when he released a coloring book, you know, it's like, oh, let him cook.
Not even the big day. He said coloring book. Wow.
Yeah. I was disappointed in that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm also kind of a coloring book hater. And that's when a lot of people came on board. God, we're sounding like such hipsters. But I didn't like that very much at all either.
And then obviously the big day made me go, okay, maybe we don't let him cook anymore. Maybe we put him on the bleachers. Maybe
maybe get him in the front of house. Yeah, get him in the front of house for a bit. The wildest thing is he had a little bit of a comeback where he was coming out with really good singles and then just nothing came of it.
Even before the big day, he had good singles. It seems like, yeah. I was like, oh, he's back to form, baby. And then he comes out with a big day and I'm like, shit. And now he has had good singles again, but it's like, is it going to actually become anything? Probably not.
I don't know. And also, you know, it's subjective. Dorley loves Hot Shower.
All right. You want to get into articles or do you have more to say?
Let's do it. Let's jump in.
All right. So I brought in noted fat phobe Dan Savage for his column in The Stranger. Oh, yeah. Who did you say likes Dan Savage?
Arthy.
He is funny. I'm not attacking anybody. I do think he's funny, but this one's for you. So Dan Savage, I feel like he doesn't need an introduction. He has to be one of the most famous advice columnists, right?
Yeah.
Should I give him a more polite introduction than noted fat phobe?
Yeah, probably. Just for the, you know, we've never been berated by anybody's fans, but this would be one of them. Also, you should hear Paul's opinion on Kamala Harris and Beyonce.
What? Queens, shout out to the Bayhive, K-Hive, love y'all.
XOXO.
Yeah, Google him. I actually only know him from This American Life, so I don't really know what to say.
Did you ever watch Swarm?
No.
Isn't that what that show was like, the premise was? It was just like some artist with a really crazy fan base and like one of them going crazy?
I remember being interested when I saw the cover and never clicked on it. But yeah, it seemed like that's what it was about.
I remember being really interested because I thought it was about insects and ended up being about just people. So I was like,
you did not think it was about insects. Shut the
yeah,
fuck
it did,
up,
man.
You?
I was like, Childish Gambino, he loves insects, man.
Noted insectophile, Childish Gambino. Okay, dear Dan Savage, I need your help. I have entered into a period of my life where I am devoting all my mental resources towards my academics, grad school, and not interested in dating. Thus, I bought a real doll so that I may enjoy fantastic masturbation during this loveless period. Unfortunately, while my parents were visiting, my mom discovered it and she reacted very, very badly. You see, my dear mother is a feminist and she is very upset by the doll and believes that it is an indication that I have lost all respect for women. I do not feel this is true. I view myself as a feminist and realize this society sexually objectifies women. But I also believe that I can masturbate with a rubber woman and have wild fantasies and then come back to reality and respect everyone, men, women, and otherwise. My mother, however, is extremely upset, and we haven't been able to have a civil conversation since. I am hoping you can possibly give me some perspective. Signed, Dolled Up.
Sorry, I clicked the link and now I'm just too distracted.
Oh, there was a link to the
Don't click it. Do you want to guess how much these dolls run for?
I've seen it before, like $2,000, right?
Well, Xandra version 1.0. Do you have a guess on that one?
$1,489.
Okay, this might be like a Biden thing, but $7,499. Maybe when Trump was president, that's what the price was, but dude... Okay, first of all, I know I'm acting like a woke king. The first thing I thought about while strolling through this was like, oh god, if the black dolls are worth less than the white dolls, I'm gonna be so upset. And how there's obviously systemic issues in the pricing of this thing, which I don't think is the case. But then I got to the male parts of it, and they also make male sex dolls too, so I don't know what she's talking about with this whole feminism thing. They're objectifying men too. You want to get a Johnny 1.0 is $6,449.99.
Should we put a link to this in our description for the episode? These are so funny.
It's just a link to the article. We'll get you there.
Oh, yeah. Click the article and then click on the hyperlink that he included to the term real doll.
Oh, shit. What was I going to say? Johnny 1.0 is $6,499.99. Does it ever tickle you when they still add the 99 cents on like something that's thousands of dollars? At a certain point, it's like a used car. Like maybe just say 34K or whatever.
The men, it's weird because it's like... they give them the type of abs where they have like the rib cage curve. And to me, that's a little creepy looking on something like that. I don't know. I feel like they could leave that out.
I feel like it's kind of 50-50 with whether or not the hair really adds to it, but I do like it better with hair. But the hair that they add still kind of looks a little bit weird.
Yeah, the hair is very obviously wigs.
I like that they also make sure to show you what Johnny looks like from behind, too, in case you're an ass lady, which I've known a few.
Hey, you know what? Considering how creepy you know the internet can be, I'm just glad all of these look like adults.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who's your favorite?
They made a Stormy Daniels one, Hachi Chachi.
Is it actually called Stormy, or is it just like the resemblance is there?
It's called Stormy Daniels. I assume she gets a cut. That one's actually less than their other models. It's 6,500.
Damn. I was hoping that they were going to make a Stormzy Daniels. What the fuck have you lot done? I like Natalie's representation of big areolas. I feel like that there's societal expectations about how big your areola should be. I like that they gave her big little areolas. That's good. I'm going to keep looking through these and pointing things out. Oh, there's a lot more male models in the bottom.
You know, it's kind of weird to get a real doll that has obviously fake tits. Did you see Olivia 3.0? It's like, they could have given her natural. Like, it's so weird that it looks like she has a boob job. Like, is that standard that even the plastic one should look like it has a boob job?
I just saw that they didn't Asa Akira, too. Interesting. Very, like, older porn stars. I'm surprised. I feel like that's one of those things where you would think there'd be a new class of porn stars. Like, the double XL freshman would be like you and me being like, I don't know any of these porn stars anymore. I'm not keeping up on the underground like I used to.
All right, what do you feel about this guy's mom not letting him cook? Come on. He's got to get through grad school. Let him cook.
I can see why, in a vacuum, it looks bad. I kind of get his point, and I think if you can talk it over, I feel like you should be able to get his point.
I could get his point if they were $50. I think his mom has a right to be concerned if he spent $7,000.
I mean, if he's got the money.
Why does he have the money? That's her money, then, because he's in grad school.
Yeah, grad school for business dealings. I don't know.
In which case, it's like, did you spend $7,000 of my dollars on a real doll that you told me you needed for college?
What if he took out a loan? What if it was on layaway for a while?
He won it in one of those competitions where you have to keep your hand, like you have to touch the Hondas the longest, and then you win it.
You have to keep your hands on the big bazongas for as long as possible.
You have to keep your hands on Psy 2.0 as long as possible, and then you won her.
Sorry, hold on. I didn't actually follow along while you were reading the second part of it, but she's just saying it's obviously objectifying and stuff, and he's saying I'm still a feminist. But...
it literally is objectifying. It's literally a woman who's an object. That's what a real doll is. I don't think you can argue with the idea of it being objectifying. It's literally an object woman.
Let me ask you this question, Paul. Is there any ethical consumption under capitalism? I feel like this isn't something you really need to talk over with your mom.
I know. Why'd she even something... find it? You did not hide your real doll well enough.
There's something worse about having to eventually tell an ex-partner, like, oh, just so you know, I had a real-life sex doll, but I got rid of it because my mommy made me. It's like, okay. I would immediately be like, oh, God.
It's $7,000. How late into a relationship with a real woman do you go, okay, this is serious enough, I have to get rid of this? Because it's $7,000, you can't get rid of it 2 weeks into a relationship, you know? Like, that's a lot of money lost if it ends quick.
I mean, this is season one of Lil Dicky's show, where he has one of these, and he's trying to use it without his girlfriend knowing, yeah. I forgot what the crux of the issue was. I think it was that he couldn't finish with a real woman or something? I don't know. He's neurotic. You know what I mean? He's got to have a show. He's a neurotic guy. Right. But yeah, he had one of these.
Little Dicky, if you need a plot line for your next season, based off this advice column, how funny would it be if he was like, shit, my mom is coming tomorrow and I have to hide my real doll. So he goes to bury it in the backyard. His neighbor thinks he's murdered a woman.
Ooh, that might have happened. I don't think that did happen. That's a good one. Yeah.
I should be in the writer's room for Dave. Hit me up. I can also steal Theo Vaughn's jokes.
Ooh. It seems like, and I didn't really think about this until I clicked on the website, that Real Doll is like the Kleenex of this industry? Could he have maybe have gotten like the Walmart Great Value brand and like for a couple thousand off?
Well, did he include the hyperlink or did Dan Savage add it later?
I think that's got to be Dan Savage, right? For context. But he used it like a brand name. Like he said, like, I used a Kleenex. I used a Band-Aid.
But he didn't put SIC in brackets afterwards.
Hmm.
So I think it might have been added by the question asker, meaning he has a real doll.
Okay. A real doll. So you're saying that he can't be a feminist and have the doll?
I mean, it definitely raises a red flag talking about our red flags episode.
I think there's something sus about it. So I think my issue with it isn't the feminism aspect of it. It's that anyone who has that doll is counter-revolutionary. That's more my issue with it.
And also my other issue with it is, like, they're just a bad decision maker. Like, wouldn't you just be ashamed of your son in general? Like,
dude, what are you talking... Dude, that thing is going up in value year after year, dude. Are you kidding me? That is a good investment.
Oh, you think somebody wants a used real doll? There's no cleaning that you can do to get that fixed up. The market for that is crazy. No.
Do you think that's how he got rid of it, is he gave it to the Goodwill?
It loses half its value driving off the lot.
Do you think that's how he was sold on it, is like he went to a real deal shop and they're like, what do I got to do to get you into one of these dolls today?
Oh my god. Dude, these dolls are the funniest thing I've ever fucking seen.
Pretty cool.
All right, you want to hear the answer?
What kind of features do you think they have for $7,000?
I don't think they're like robot people yet. I don't think they like talk or walk or anything.
Okay.
I wonder if people are working on that. Like, how expensive are those?
I don't know. I was thinking more of like a warming sensation that you can turn on, like a seat heater or something like that. But I think that's probably what they're playing with these days.
Would you rather have a real doll or a used 2015 Honda Civic?
Ooh, I mean, I got a car. I know you're a big Civic head, but
no, I'm an Accord boy. You know I'm not.
Oh,
trash.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. God damn, that's counter-revolutionary. Did we answer the question at all?
Kill your mom and get a real doll that looks like her. She won't talk back so much.
Ooh. All right, I can't top that. Yeah. I will say, after hearing the column, I think mine might be more on theme than yours.
Why? His mom won't let him cook.
That's true.
My perspective. Your masturbatory routines, including your masturbatory aids, are none of your mother's fucking business.
God damn, do we have Jeff Tiedrich on the podcast?
And if your mother wants to be shocked by something, D.U., it ought to be that her son, the grad student, have $5,000 to plunk down on a sex toy. Your options at this stage are pretty limited. You can apologize to your mother and tell her what she wanted to hear. You're right, Mom. I'm making an appointment with a therapist and donating my real doll to a sex-starved grad student in Africa. Or you can tell your mother to fuck off and butt out. It's my dick, Mom, and I'll stick it in whatever I want. You remember that. It's my body, my choice stuff, right? That said, your claim that you bought a real doll so you could enjoy fantastic masturbation during this loveless period doesn't quite pass the smell of day, old spunk moldering in the lifeless orifice of a silicone dummy test. Most guys manage to tough it out their loveless periods with the help of the porn industry in their own right hand. And most guys who opt for insanely expensive, life-size, hard-to-hide sex dolls do have issues with women. Most are plagued by feelings of inadequacy, not superiority. So you may want to entertain the possibility that your mother might be right. But even if you do have issues with women, still an if, they're still none of your mother's fucking business. I think you're right. We got a fucking Jeff Tiedrich in the motherfucking house.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was weird when Dan said at least the dolls are skinny, but other than that.
Alrighty, Adrian. You want to get into your column?
Yeah. What did I do? Thor!
Hey! Look what you made me do.
Alright, hopefully my battery lasts. Let's see. He's just gonna start chewing other cables. Okay. Gonna commit goddamn suicide. Alright, Paul, do you remember the pickle?
No.
Well, I'm bringing this in. I brought it in recently. Didn't even know this was a Slate advice column. It's one of their short-lived ones. But it is a food advice column from Slate called The Pickle. And this one is, when does reducing food waste turn into eating trash? Oh, this is actually their first one. Introducing The Pickle, Slate's new food and cooking advice column. Did not last that long. The Pickle, a food and cooking advice column, was written by The Art of Gay Cooking author Daniel J. Isengard. You can follow all of his work at his website. My boyfriend and I have a very different standard for when we think food is old, as in, old enough to throw away. I basically think anything is fine as long as it doesn't smell, and he is willing to throw something away after it's sat in the fridge for 2 days, and certainly once it's past its expiration date. Our different approaches probably reflect differences in our homes growing up, but as far as I know, he's never gotten sick from eating old food. I think food waste is a huge problem, and we should endeavor to limit waste. He is scared of illness. Fair. Who is right? How do we compromise? Is she free? Should she be free to just let her cook?
I mean, I agree with her.
Smell test?
Yeah, of course. Except hey, I'm a smell tester with things too. Like bread, which I think can get like mold and be... the things that That's can a visual catch test. Mold. Yeah. Well, there's also the idea of like, if you see it on even a little piece of bread, it means mm-hmm. it's through the whole thing. So mm-hmm. don't just chop off a little bit. But with other things, yeah, I think usually the smell test is like, you're good to go, like milk. Smell test. Like, don't freak out because it's a day past the expiration date on the bottle.
Well, that gets into the whole thing about, is it the expiration date or the use-by date or the best-by date or the sell-by date?
None of them are legally mandated.
Yeah. Is that true? So, did you watch a John Oliver about this?
I watched Climate Town about this.
Ooh, Climate Town.
Yeah.
Wait, even expiration date?
Yeah.
So that's just planned obsolescence in the food industry?
Yeah, basically, I think. I can't really remember what I learned, but I remember learning that it's mostly guesstimation and none of it is legally enforced. Like, it's not a consumer thing. It's for something else.
Bro, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, now I even side stronger with your side, which I was also on. I'm a very big visual smell test. If it seems fine, keep it.
Fruit, I'm staying for sure. Fruit,
yeah.
Eyeball, and smell test. Like, if it's not literally rotting, fruit is good to eat.
Yeah, and that is one of those things where, like, avocados, like, I'll just cut out the part that looks gross.
Yeah, I think those are fine. Like, fruit, if there's just a part that's brown, you can eat the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'm at Nicole's house, who famously, during her episode, and we did the newlywed game, something got brought up about how she will keep food leftovers in the refrigerator for insane amounts of time, and Pierce really? Didn't understand that. Yeah.
No, I'm with her. Like, I mean, insane, I guess, depends. Like, anything with meat isn't staying longer than a week, but...
I've done meat for longer than a week before, yeah. Sometimes when I meal prep, I go really crazy with it, and I'll do, like, 10 days of food.
Rice gets kind of nasty tasting, and I heard it grows mold, so I don't really want to eat it past 2 or 3 days. But that's also mostly taste, too, more than safety. Like, even in the fridge, rice just starts tasting way worse.
Well, then you make fried rice, you know? Day-old rice is the best for fried rice.
That's true, or J. Kenji Lopez-Alt taught me the soy sauce, egg yolk, stir it all together, microwaved rice with old rice trick. I forget mm-hmm. what it's called, but it's delicious.
No, you said it all. It was all there. The instructions are clear.
I think it literally is called the Japanese thing for, like, soy sauce egg rice. You microwave the rice so it's hot enough that when you crack the egg yolk into it, it basically cooks it. And then you add a little bit of soy sauce to that.
I'm not going to try and test my Japanese right now. I was going to be like, I think egg is tomago, and then, I don't know. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Do you have disagreements? I guess you have your own fridge and your own space, so you don't have to have these conflicts with anybody. At all.
Yeah, I don't think Izzy really cares. I don't know. It feels like you could do your own leftovers then. I don't know. Don't force him to eat something he doesn't want to eat. But, like, he's a dick if he's throwing away your food.
Rules for you, not for other people. You wouldn't serve something that's a week old, but you would eat something that's a week old?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'm kind of in the same place.
I also will eat food that I wouldn't serve to other people in the sense of, like, I know what I like, and sometimes I like things that are, like, kind of sloppily made. Like, I like, you know... I don't know. I'll just make dishes that I'm like, oh, I like all these ingredients. Like, let me just cook up this meat and put it with these veggies and stuff. But it's not a dish. I would never give it to anybody.
I see. I got some chicken in the fridge right now that I really need to use in the next day or two, and instead I'm getting a cheesesteak tonight. I'm just gonna leave it up to the roll of the dice tomorrow when I cook it.
What else do you have in your fridge?
Let's see. Well, I've got like little pre-packaged noodles with a sauce that I'm gonna use to cook the chicken with to like use it up with some vegetables.
Yeah, so you already know what dish you're making. Okay. I thought I was gonna help you invent the dish.
No. I prepped for what I want to do with it. I just haven't started. Thor, get your ass down. I'm a fucking body you. Why is it that these cats are always trifling while I'm doing the podcast? just jumping up here while I'm doing the pod. You're not a special guest, Thor. Can be if you want to, but we have to make the articles about you. Yeah, I have a salad kit that I need to use. I bought that intending to use it for lunch, but I've kind of been a homebody since I kind of just don't have to take care of the other cat and the other across town anymore. I do have an issue with, so I don't know about you, but raspberry, blackberries, blueberries, they come in these containers where like you can kind of eat all of that in one sitting, but you're like, I paid like $4 for these berries. I should probably split it among other things. And it's like, I only eat yogurt and fruit for breakfast like twice a week. So invariably, I always end up with some moldy berries. And it's just it's the worst situation in the world, I think.
Yeah, it's that for bread for me. Bread is clearly made in quantities for families. And unless I'm eating way more sandwiches than I intend, a loaf of bread is just like usually untenable for me in the amount of time it takes for.
That's a good one to freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it'll toast up fine.
I was always a fan of frozen grapes growing up. I was like one of those people who's like, oh, it's just a good snack.
Love a good frozen grape.
It's sour. A green grape so that it gets like sour and you're just like,
I have the controversial opinion that I like gummy bears and ice cream specifically because they get kind of hard.
You see, that's, I don't like them for that specific
reason. It's a bridge too far.
Is it controversial? Is it controversial with anybody other than me? Or is this like something we've argued about?
No, that's a common thing that I've heard other people say they don't like about gummy bears in ice cream. Okay, so more about food waste and your boyfriend. I think Paul got on it and about the respectability of it. As long as he's not throwing stuff out for you and he's letting you make your own decisions, I think that seems fine to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's about the teamwork, right? It's about if you guys are trying to eat dinner together every night and you guys are presumably supposed to be eating the same thing.
Yeah.
He's going through food way faster than you are.
Yeah, then he has to cook while you're eating leftovers, so then you just get to eat the leftovers of what he cooked the next night, meaning you never have to cook. You win.
It's a scheme. Yeah, you're winning.
You're winning. Stay winning, queen.
All right, cool. Oh, how do you feel about the whole, like, I don't want to get into it, but it probably has something to do with the difference in our backgrounds.
Yeah, he's probably from a bougie rich family, and I'm from a down-to-earth family.
Mm-hmm.
Or he eats his noodles silently. I slurp them up.
My grandma didn't let me leave the table till I finished all my food.
She was abusive.
Yeah. Oh, according to those, is it Noom that was big for a while that was doing like therapy for healthy eating?
No, I don't know this.
Oh, all of the commercials were like, you take a quiz to figure out where your like bad eating habits come from. And it's like people having like ratatouille moments where it's like, I was like, forced to equate love with food, and it's like a flashback of their grandma being like, oh, made with love, eat this or whatever. And then the other one's like, I've like been conditioned to finish everything that's on my plate, and that's like another one where they have a flashback to childhood. I don't know if it's still big. I think it was kind of like BetterHelp, where there was like this weird bubbling up of a controversy that like Noom promoted what was essentially like almost anorexic like thinking about food. And so people were like, that is not a healthy way. Like what it does to you in terms of trying to change your psyche is not healthy at all.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know about this.
Yeah, so it kind of fell off. I haven't seen an ad for it in forever, but they used to be everywhere.
But it seems like one of those things where it's way too easy an answer. The idea that like you could just be like, oh yeah, my grandma did shove popsicles into my mouth. No wonder I have a problem with eating.
Running around with a pickle in your mouth.
Yeah, it seems like too easy an answer. Like I feel like that should have been obviously a scam.
I guess so. I don't really know how deep it went. I do remember one time being at Ben Schaefer's house and he made fun of me for like eating every last grain of rice on my plate because I think my parents were big. I don't think my parents are actually big on that, but I think that was just something that I did. It was like, oh yeah, you should eat whatever you're served.
No. Let's not let white people get away with this. I mean, I've been big on this for a long time. Have you ever seen white people eat chicken wings? They leave like half the damn meat on the bone. We should not be encouraging them to think it's good to waste food. These motherfuckers don't know how to take a bite of anything that's not served to them, like boneless and sauced.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's crazy what people think cleaning a wing means for people that I've eaten with.
Yeah, insane.
Bro, I'm getting the cartilage out, bro. I'm getting the bone. I know.
If you're not getting a little bit in your mouth that you're like, oh, that's not quite edible, I need to spit that out, you haven't tried to finish your wing.
No, man. I leave them bare. That happened once when I got roasted because I was too hungover to join the bike ride, but it was friends from Trader Joe's, including a manager, but I met them at Public House for wings afterwards. And my manager made a note of like, damn, Adrian really cleans his wings.
No. Once again, the fact that he was trying to other you, it's like, motherfucker, white people will take like one bite of a wing and be like, all done.
That's the good stuff.
This is not something they get on us. This is something we get on them, these motherfuckers.
They don't want to work for some goddamn, they don't want to put effort in.
It's made me angry every single time in my life I've seen a white person eat a wing.
Well, that's why you gotta get them boneless wings that they can handle.
I know, that I should. I should just encourage them to order what they can handle.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the rice thing is the same. Yeah, I guess it's a similar thing.
I don't know. Like, you're hungry. You finish the rice on your plate. You don't leave, like, 15 little, like, random kernels that you're like, oh, those stay on the plate. Why the fuck would you do that? Get your last bite in.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else?
Nah.
All right, cool. You ever seen a white person eat a mango?
You seen a white person eat an orange? Their hands don't even get juice all over them. It's fucking insane.
What else do they do that with?
They leave half the mango seed full of mango meat, and they're like, oh yeah, that's the part that goes in the trash. All the best tasting part. I'm not gonna suckle on that big mango seed.
One for me, one for the trash. That's how I think about it.
They're like, let me cut 3 strips off this mango and throw away the seed with all the good shit.
Speaking of which, I've got 2 mangoes ripening on the counter right now, and I am ready for those guys. I'm gonna know. All right, while your stance about minimizing food waste is laudable, I'm afraid you are putting the cart before the horse. The real issue here is not finding a compromise regarding when it's okay or not to throw food away. Rather, it should be about finding ways to prevent food from ever getting to that point where throwing it away feels necessary, no matter your standard. Never mind that the human nose is not equipped to detect harmful levels of bacteria with any reliability. If it were so, no one would ever be afflicted by foodborne illness. By eating food when it's no longer fresh, you are basically turning your own body into the very trash that you profess you want to avoid. Instead of debating the shelf life of food groups, let me urge you and your boyfriend to examine when and how you shop for groceries, stock your refrigerator, and plan your meals. This will require a new level of forethoughtfulness, discipline, and most importantly, communication between the two of you. But look at it this way, it'll give you a chance to learn something new together and turn an old argument, this is still good, no it's not, into a joint effort to find a more constructive solution. In addition, you might discover the pleasures of consistently eating food that is, well, fresh. Here are some useful hints on how to make it happen. Many a vegetable drawer I see in my work as a private chef is a veritable cabinet of horrors, filled with rubbery carrots, half-rotten mushrooms, wilted greens that have already begun to break down into mush, smelly halved onions, and quarters of limes with brown edges. This is food waste of the lowest order. Make a point of regularly taking stock of your fridge's inventory before buying any new produce. So much of it gets wasted because we forget that we have it or are too lazy to use it. One good tip is always wash and tumble dry all lettuce, greens, and fresh herbs right away and store them in airtight containers with a piece of paper towel to absorb condensation. That way, they are conveniently ready, nay, eager, to be used and will keep longer. But don't think that buying pre-rinsed or, heaven forbid, pre-cut produce gets you any brownie points. That stuff is very likely already days old by the time you put it into your shopping basket. Holy shit, this is a long answer. When you cook a meal from scratch, try to produce an amount that will yield no more than 2 complete meals each time. That is very much against my meal prep strategy.
Yeah, insanity. I hate this answer so much already.
Store leftovers in sealable glass containers so you can see at a glance what you have and plan your next meal accordingly. Understandably, you might not want to eat the same dish twice in a row, but having leftovers on the second day after you cook the meal is acceptable by any standard. In addition, there are ways to circumvent tedium by transforming leftovers into a completely different dish. The classic example for this is the roast chicken that becomes a broth made with the bones and skin, and salad made with the leftover meat. Ultimately, I'd like to urge you to consider freshness as your ultimate standard instead of expiration dates. After all, the best way to respect produce and food is to consume it and use it up while it's in its prime. Polly?
Stupid. It sounds like they agreed with the boyfriend and didn't just want to outright say that, like, they're a weird picky eater who doesn't mind throwing away old food.
Oh god, we're getting you back with the picky eaters.
Don't agree with that answer.
Yeah, cooking with the intention of only making two meals worth seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
That basically just says that, like, my job is cooking and I'm willing to do it all the time for an incredible amount of time for every day of my life.
It was like the whole, like, reframe the discussion. It's like, no, nobody, like, I don't know, no normal person is going to be able to shop. The world she built was one where you can make it to the grocery store once every other day. Which I just don't think is a reasonable expectation for most people. And I
Unless
enjoy going
Camilla's
to the
mom,
grocery store.
Used to
store.
Go to Publix every single day.
But I enjoy going to the grocery store. But it just, like, I feel like even then I make it, like, once every 4 or 5 days. It's so weird. Yeah. That's about how long I would expect most things to stay good in my fridge. It's so crazy for her to be like, oh, your boyfriend who thinks 2 days is enough. That's just, I don't know, not a reasonable amount of time. Like, I think there was a clear-cut actual answer here, and this person was just like, redefine your mental framework.
They said that your nose isn't as good as you think it is, Polly Boy.
Well, I mean, I don't know. In that case, people are just going to throw away food, and they're just encouraging people to throw away food. If we have no way to actually ascertain when food is good or not good, then the idea is just throw away food basically as soon as you get it, if you don't cook it within a day.
Yeah. What other way is more respectful to the food, Paul?
I guess so. I guess we all got to shop every other day.
Yeah.
If not every day.
Which we all have time to do. They're a chef. That's their job.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't remember how I felt about the last pickle article, but that one? Not putting that pickle in my mouth.
Okay, I'm glad you agree. It's like one of those things where if you didn't, I'd have to be like, yeah, man, I was just joking. I'm not gross.
No, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I play fast and loose with the, so I moved into a new house with 3 other people. It's the most people I've lived with in a while, in about 3 or 4 years. And like, immediately my thing was, I'm house sitting enough that I can like meal prep big batches of stuff and then not actually have to use the kitchen for extended periods of time, just not to be a bother as I'm like integrating myself into this household. And I think I need to be better about cooking more often now, but like, I did really like rely on like, oh, I'm at my advisor's house this weekend. I can cook like 10 meals and then just heat them up throughout the week. And I'm not gonna lie, there were a couple ones where like by the time I got to the last container, it was moldy. And I was like, all right, kind of gross to see the thing that you've been eating for the last 10 days moldy, but you know what? Move on to the next thing. I'm gonna make a new dish.
Move on. Bigger and better things. Let them cook.
Yeah, it was that and a lot of ramen because I could make that in like 10 minutes and just add an egg and like some chili oil and it'd be good enough. All right, Paul, I'm going to get a quick drink, and then you want to do the third segment?
Sounds good. All right, so for Let 'Em Cook, we thought the third segment would be ideas that sound stupid, but hold up, give them a second, let them explain.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Adrian have both brought in 3 ideas that might sound stupid at first, but hold up, let them explain.
Mm-hmm. All right. Paul, you want to go first?
No, I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, good, because I actually have an extra one. This one is submitted from Philly Boy, friend of the pod. A popcorn bag that's clear so you can see the kernels pop.
Holy fucking shit. You don't even, I don't gotta let him cook. That's genius.
How is he not already a millionaire? That's what I'm saying. That was kind of my response to it too, is I was like, that's actually a fucking great idea.
What the fuck? They say capitalism gives us all these like options in the supermarket, and that's what makes capitalism so good. Why have we not thought of this if the free market is so powerful?
Yeah. Somewhere in Cuba there's a guy at the grocery store who only has one option, but it's a clear bag for his popcorn.
All right, should I hop into my way lengthier first idea?
Yeah, sure.
Sports with drones.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
So there's already like drone racing, but this is human drone combination sports, not just drone v drone. So the sport that I'm pitching for you, Adrian, is a 7v7 sport played
Wait,
on
Paul,
something
you're willing
about-
to let drones into sports, but not trans women?
I've literally always supported trans people, and it's fucked up you would imply otherwise.
Okay.
Also, another rule in the sport is that it's only trans men are allowed to play in it. No cis men, no trans women.
Oh, okay. All right, 7v7.
7v7 sport played on the size of something around a basketball court. Each team has four humans on court, three drone pilots.
Mm.
These drones are surrounded in like a spherical plastic mesh. Then they're about like a dodgeball size. This is kind of like, you know, that toy I have that's like got like a plastic mesh around it and you can throw mm-hmm. it up and you can kind of smack it around and it's fine. But these are a little bit more advanced. They can be piloted. They're about the size of a dodgeball. They have a max flight of about 11 feet. Opposing players can only strike them away, not grab them. Your team can always grab your own drones and throw them to each other or strike your own drone. No traveling is allowed while holding a drone. There is a 7-foot-wide ring on each end of the court, and no drone can be flown closer than 10 feet to that ring. Only one player, a goalie on each team, is allowed within that 10-foot ring of their defending goal. No opposing players are allowed within that ring. So the opposing team is forced to strike their own drone into the opposing team's ring since it can't simply fly in. Mm-hmm. Also, because the only person allowed in that area is the defending team's goalie, it makes goaltending very easy. That's why there's three drones, because you have to coordinate shooting two at the same time to actually have a chance of getting one in. Yeah, that's it.
What about the golden snitch?
This isn't Quidditch, bitch.
Hey, come on now.
Although the goals are kind of like Quidditch goals. They are just rings at you.
Yeah, I think that's what got me.
It's very hard to invent a sport without play testing it. So I tried as hard as I could to envision something that might actually work, but it's very hard to know. This might be bullshit.
Yeah, the idea of drone smacking, is that something you can get really good at?
I mean, it can only fly 11 feet, so if it's in the shape of a ball, I imagine you can hit it and it'll go the direction you hit.
Okay. All right.
It's got a plastic mesh in the shape of a sphere around it.
But if you hit it and it doesn't make it all the way to the goal, it's now illegal, right? Because it's closer than 10 feet and it's there.
I guess the thing is it has to fly out. That's where refs and video calls come into play.
Okay. There we go. VAR system. I'm glad I let you cook. I think it's a cool idea. I don't know if I would play it, but
11 feet might be a little too high for you. I see why you wouldn't play. Maybe there could be like a short man's league or something.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, not a bad idea. Okay. I had a similar idea where because people, Americans, when they find out that you like soccer, love telling you the things that they think that would make soccer more interesting. I decided to flip the script and try and make this game of yours, American football, a little more interesting. So here's my idea. So I couldn't do attach a knife to the ball. That's a little bit too easy. That's that's a little too obvious. All right, I think we all know that. Okay, football. Once per game, the attacking team, and don't talk about my terminology. I'm sure this is all correct. Once per game, the attacking team is allowed to add the referees to their team for a play. They have to notify the refs. They don't have to notify the other team. So I think that'd make football a little more interesting, because right now...
Question. I want to let you cook, but can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do the refs still get to make calls while they're on your team?
Yeah, they're doing double duty.
But do they still have to make non-partial calls, or can they then, because they're on your team for that play, make calls in your favor?
No. They took an oath to be unbiased, so we can't circumvent that. Yeah.
Okay. There's so they're playing for you at this point, but they're still being unbiased in their call making.
Yeah. Like if they do a And I know football fouls. If there's a flag on the play, they have to call it, even if they're the ones perpetrating it.
And another question. So it's like
they don't get to put on equipment either. They're going in dry.
Do they have to be on sides, or can they be playing it like they can be off sides until the play starts?
No, they can be, no, because then you could just have someone at the touchdown and you could just cherry pick. Yeah, that might be one way that it's signaled to the other team, is that they all have to run behind the line of scrimmage. Which you could make look casual. You don't have to use all of the refs. If you want, you can just use the central ref.
Oh, okay. Cool. Or the and so official. Then it's like the play starts and they're like everybody... Every play is like, well, shit, they could be using their play where they get the ref. We better cover the ref right now. There's a little bit of mental game going on. Okay, I see what's going on here. I like it.
Every time you get one.
You don't want to use it too early because you want to keep the mental game going as close to the end as possible. But you do want to use it before it loses its ability to change the momentum of the game.
No. Deion Sanders is famous for using it on the first play every time.
What can you do? Wild dog's got to bark.
He's a bad little bitch.
Big dog's got to bark.
Yeah, big dog got to bark. That's the one thing I know. All right, yeah, that's my first idea.
Okay. My next idea. Kitchen knives that look like samurai swords.
Ooh. I think I'm out the gate with that one. That one's dope.
Why don't my kitchen knives look like authentic Edo period Japanese samurai swords, but mini? That's right. No reason. Mm. Now introducing authentic style mini samurai sword kitchen knives.
I'm into it.
Thank you, buddy. I've been saying it. Nobody's been listening.
Have you ever seen the umbrellas where the umbrella handle's like a samurai sword handle? So it looks really cool sticking out of your bag.
No, that is cool.
Yeah.
I don't think TSA would like that.
I know. I can't see why this hasn't already been made. It's a great idea.
Shark Tank.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the person to CEO this endeavor?
No, I think I'd bring a Japanese man on for cultural sensitivity reasons to lead the company.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good. All right, this is one that I looked up later and saw that it's already a thing, but I came up with the idea myself. So these are puzzles where instead of having a cardboard background, every piece is double-sided and you can redo the puzzle frontwards and backwards. So two-sided puzzle pieces.
Oh, that sounds so hard because then you don't... Yeah. Oh, man. No, yeah. I'm not going to let you cook on this one. I'm sorry. This is
what
my
are you
first
talking about? No.
Cook.
It's really cool, too, because like one side will be like a group of penguins together, and like the backside image is like a chessboard.
Oh, so you could pretty easily tell?
No, those are both black and white. What are you talking about?
No, because a chessboard is usually like a grainy woody white and a grainy woody like brown more than black.
No, this is made of marble.
I don't know. Chessboard black and white is a really different color than penguin black and
Fine.
White.
Fine, it's a newspaper then.
Oh shit, that's really hard. Well, actually, newspaper's more like a tanned yellow.
What's black and white and red all over? Paul, when I beat his ass after I make him colorblind.
Cool. I'm not buying that, man. That sounds like torture.
You know, Amazon has them when I looked it up, and I don't actually know if the intention is for it to be hard on both sides, or just that you have two puzzles, but I don't know. I think my idea of making
it harder. Oh, it's for people being thrifty.
Yeah.
Spending too much of your income on puzzles.
Yeah.
Two
Why not
for
get two
one?
Uses out of it? Yeah.
All right. Adrian, for my last idea, and stick with me here. Might be a little advanced for you, okay? Might not be able to understand something at this level. All right, you know those like little suction cups that like neurologists use when they're reading your brain waves with wires coming out of them? Imagine those going into a propeller hat. And now imagine that there's a tiny motor in that propeller hat. And now imagine that every time the person wearing that propeller hat gets horny, the propeller starts spinning.
And what need is this meant to address?
It's just really funny, man.
People are voluntarily wearing hats where they know where other people can tell if they're horny.
Yeah. Imagine it. It's just like you're sitting on the couch with like your partner and it's like their hat starts spinning and you're like, God damn it. You think Brad Pitt's hotter than me? God damn it. Fuck you, bitch.
Oh, I thought you meant it was like that's how you signify to your partner that you're ready to get intimate.
No, no, no. You're like walking around the mall and you see it like spinning off and you're like, oh, you piece of shit.
This is something that emotionally abusive people make their partners wear.
Nah, you can wear it alone too. You don't have to have a partner. It's just funny, man.
I don't know if I want to let you cook on this one.
You don't think it's funny? Come on.
I mean, I think it's funny. I don't
like. You just walk around in public, everybody's wearing propeller hats, and sometimes they start spinning, and you're like, "Ah, oh, he's horny."
What if it gets windy? What if it's windy?
Misunderstanding. Great new gaffe for Larry David to bring in.
It was windy. That wasn't horny. It was windy. I wouldn't buy it. I'll say that.
Well, I mean, not everybody's ready for every new technological innovation. There's always haters. There's always Luddites. No,
I don't think you understand. I'm not like waiting for the second generation of it. Like, I'm not going to buy this.
No, there's always people who don't understand. You know, like when the first iPhone came out, there was always people who were like, oh, I like my flip phone. Like, you know, eventually people realize that they're being stupid, ignorant pieces of shit.
I don't wear hats.
Eventually people realize that they're just like these Guatemalan bitches and they realize that they've really been holding off.
Does it only work for bald people or do they put those things on people's hair? Do you have to shave to put the hat on?
Nah, it goes between your hair. It's fine, man.
It goes between your hair.
I don't know. It works. It's fine. They figured it out.
Who?
The scientists.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna rate that as a would not cook.
Oh well, you know what? They told Jonah Arc that she wasn't a boss bitch feminist, and look at what she did. So it's
did
just
you
like,
think maybe that her name was Jonah Arc and not Joan of Arc? Because it definitely sounded like you said they told Jonah Arc.
Well, you know what? They told Queen Victoria that she couldn't rule England, and look at what she did. So it's just like it's like maybe what you say doesn't fucking matter, man.
Damn, that's true. New celeb enemy, Jonah Arc. All right, do you want to hear my last one?
Fine, I guess. If you think it can like even.
You can shit on this one if you whatever want. All right. Oh, wait, hold on. Let's see. Okay, number one. No, wait, this isn't number one. I just deleted the other ones. Okay, my last one. Lingo. Stick with me here.
It's not Duolingo. It's for your first language.
Yeah, exactly. Lingo. Lingo is a matchmaking app that pairs you up with a conversation partner who knows a language you're looking to learn and wants to learn whatever language you know.
That's actually a great idea. I wish I didn't have to say it.
And there's a propeller hat. It spins when you're horny. This is inspired by a recent conversation where Marshall's roommate apparently is a linguistics major, so he knows a little bit about the pedagogy of learning a language. And I was telling him about my Duolingo adventures, and he was like, Jeremy says number one thing you can do is find a language partner who's willing to do like 30 minutes in English and 30 minutes in Spanish.
Oh, I thought he was going to say the number one way to learn a language is to try to learn it to fuck somebody.
Ooh, because then you just learn the dirty words.
Horniness really is the main driver behind learning a second language. If we learned anything from those Rosetta Stone ads about the piece of shit podunk farmer who wanted to get with an Italian supermodel.
God, it's been a long time since you brought that in. That is a deep cut.
It's a deep cut from my memory. That was like, I literally remembered that from an ad from when I was a child.
What episode did we talk about that? Because I remember us talking about it in detail.
And I had to send you a link where I was like, I swear this exists. This is a real thing.
All right, Paul. Wrap up the segment. Should we let each other cook?
Dude, hell yeah. You actually brought in two great ideas. So I can fuck with it. I think you've got a mind for these things. Great.
I think the puzzle idea is the best. And I think you came up with Two? What was your first one?
Well, I came up with one idea that would change the world and revolutionize everything. The horny propeller hat and two great ideas.
What was your first one, though?
The soccer or the drone.
Oh,
the drone,
okay. Sports. Yeah, yeah. You came up with two good ideas. And one that would...
Revolutionary idea.
Would society would divert to barbarism. All right. Big fact, no cap. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, big fact. Let them cook. People are too judgmental nowadays. Give people some space. Give them room. Everybody's got to cook, man. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my no cap is... apparently, at the time of writing, those real dolls were $5,000 and not $7,000. So, thanks, Biden.